This recording, Tennessee 12, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then, Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Miss Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. So I'm from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and we are exactly in the center of the state, and we are in between Nashville and Franklin, Tennessee. And Nashville is actually a little north of us. And our area is in the basin, so we're surrounded by mountains. So it's very interesting to drive more towards the more elevated regions and hear the difference in the accent, because the southern accent does get thicker as you go more towards Shebville, Tennessee, which is spelled like Shelbyville, but we pronounce it Shebville, or McMinnville, which is spelled McMinnville. Typically, any small area that has "ville" at the end is pronounced "vull," whereas any bigger city like Knoxville and Nashville are "ville." We also have our own way of saying northern words. We say "lawyer" instead of "lawyer." It's Lafayette, but we say Lafayette. Our town has a very small town vibe, however, a really big population. There's constantly people moving in from Nashville so that they can reside in Murfreesboro but commute to Nashville for work. But there is a lot of people who have remained in Murfreesboro. So there's people who are trying to make it to Nashville and who don't have an accent, or who are from around other parts of the country. And then there's people who have lived in Murfreesboro for most of their lives, and they all have a very thick, specific accent. I also have personally had to change my idiolect, as I now live in Boston to go to school. And for example, up in the north here, instead of saying my name, which is Julia, I have to say Julia so that my idiolect can be understood. And as an actress, I also have had to switch my idiolect, because when I enter a room, if I speak a certain way and I slur my words and my words run together, sometimes it comes off as less professional or somewhat lazy. And I want to make sure that my audience can understand what I'm saying, and that whoever I'm auditioning for knows that I can clearly say my words in more of an American palate than a Southern palate. So most of the time I subconsciously do that when I meet people as well. And I often hear that, "Oh, I didn't hear your accent the first time that I met you, but I did hear it the second time." And I wonder if subconsciously I push my idiolect down a little bit so that I sound more typical American, so that people can better understand me.